So good afternoon, folks. I'm Chris.
And I'm Karem.
And so this is an abbreviated and InfoPath-focused version of the session we just delivered. If any of you were upstairs with us, there's going to be an awful lot of repeated material there. So if you really want to go find bananas and smart food, we will totally not take issue with that. Our goals with what we're trying to do is make sure that we're presenting the on-ramp for solutions that have been built in InfoPath and SharePoint Designer and how that translates into the Power Apps and Microsoft Flow world. We just delivered a much deeper dive session upstairs in the ballroom on the state of business apps for SharePoint at today and in the future. If you were not there, that session is recorded, so really want to redirect you to that deck and that material. A lot of great stuff there. Extensive demos of how to build this material together. So where are we with InfoPath and SharePoint Designer? It's probably worth noting how we've gotten to this point today. So InfoPath was introduced well over 10 years ago as an XML doc and form generator for SharePoint on-premises. And it's been there as the front end for designing custom experiences on top of SharePoint lists and a number of scenarios for years. When we look at the state of business applications built with InfoPath, built with SharePoint Designer, we know that once they're in, they get very sticky. They become integral to the way a business operates. And we recognize that, you know, if you look at, and I'm a former MVP, and if you look at the history of how we've talked about this, when we talked about deprecating InfoPath 2.5 years ago, we didn't give a clear roadmap for what you were supposed to do next. There were some technologies we were researching, some we rolled out, some we rolled back. We're here today to really make sure that people understand where we are pointed moving forward is to power apps and flow. There are some scenarios that InfoPath excels at. Some of the offline access, those rich XML document scenarios, you should continue to use. We've extended InfoPath support 3 more years. So for InfoPath, there are no new versions of InfoPath, but we are treating the SharePoint server release this year as if there had been from a support perspective. So you have 5 more years of support standard, 5 more years of support extended to take you out to 2026, giving you the longest possible runway to lift off to your next generation biz app solutions. They're not, Power Apps itself can do many, many, many more things than were ever going to be possible at InfoPath, as we're going to show you here momentarily. I think this is you.
We are recommending at this time that new scenarios that you're creating for your business applications should use Power Apps. This lets you create mobile-first forms that can run on your users' phones. And moreover, you can use the device capabilities to make sure that you can use things like GPS, like digital ink, and your location and the camera on the device. So you can take a photo and upload it somewhere and then use that in your data entry. It also lets you easily connect to multiple data sources. If you can go back and watch the video of the session that we just finished, you will be able to see how easy it is to just create all these different data connections to different systems and make an app that ties all of those things together. And I will try to show that off in the demo in a second. You can also leverage things like Azure Functions or any other REST endpoint that is available on the web, where you can use that as a custom API to pull data from very easily. We really want to emphasize that we as SharePoint, I'm part of the SharePoint team, and we as SharePoint are really committed to making Power Apps and Flow a first-class data source for Power Apps. This means making sure that we have support for all the SharePoint data types, such as attachments, pictures, and other SharePoint data types like taxonomy, which is, I know, there are many fans of here. Make sure that those work perfectly well inside a Power App and the flow. And we're also working on enabling the embedding of Power Apps into SharePoint UI so that you can have a Power App run in a SharePoint list, in the modern list that you have seen across Ignite this week, as well as use it as the forms for your SharePoint lists. Also, let's speak a little bit about SharePoint Designer and workflows. So just like with InfoPath, SharePoint Designer is also, we did not issue a new version of it with 2016, but we did extend the support through 2026. But we recommend that you start to use Flow for your business app workflow needs. There's a grow up story. Flow will cover the basics of workflows around the same area as SharePoint Designer. And then there's a developer grow up story using Logic Apps, which runs on the same connector infrastructure. So new workflows, you should go ahead and create it with Flow. And then we're hard at work to support document libraries, other types of lists, as well as the full range of SharePoint field types in that area as well. And Flow team, I know they're not here today presenting, but they have plenty of other sessions, and they're working on further governance capabilities, which is one of the first questions we get as from Office 365 users and IT admins. Like, well, how will I govern this? They're working on their governance capabilities, and that will be available in the official release as well.
So Power Apps and Flow are definitely the successors, and Karem's going to walk you through Power Apps. I'm going to walk you through Flow.
So let's briefly talk about Power Apps. This is a tool that lets you connect easily to your existing systems and data sources. You can build your app, you can build your forms, you can have multiple screens in an app. So it's a very familiar UI and very easy to transition between the different screens in your app. And then you get to publish these apps for mobile devices as well as for web. So your users can use them either using a browser on their desktop or on their phone, or they can actually install the app on their devices and then make sure that they're using the full capabilities of the devices that they're running on. The main point we want to underline here is how easy it is to create a fully functioning app without writing any code. The Flow Designer is the thing that the Power Apps Designer Studio is the thing that lets you do that. It runs as a Windows client, but it can also be invoked through the web and runs in a browser. So you can go to any web browser and then launch the Power App Studio and make adjustments to your app, save it, and then within minutes, all the users of that app that have been using the older version can start to use the new version. It lets you use a drag and drop UI for editing the app. It lets you use Excel-like expressions for creating things like conditional formatting and filtering your results. So if you have written an if statement in Excel, then you can easily write a conditional formatting statement that will change the value of a field and change the color of a field based on the value that you have. It's easier than writing VLOOKUP, let me tell you. And you can take advantage of device capabilities, as I mentioned. And you can also connect to various data sources and bring those together in a single app, as we will see in a second. And then, here's the clicker. And then you can also publish the apps instantly for web or mobile, as I mentioned earlier. Let's quickly talk about how it works. At the bottom of this diagram, you have your data. And this can be SharePoint online, as well as it can be SharePoint 2016 or 2013 on-premises. And connection to these is possible through the on-premises data gateway, which is a free download that you can download from the Power App site and then install on a machine in your network. And then that will act as the gateway between the Power App service that's running in the cloud and your on-premises data. There's the connection that is the piece that talks between Power App service and your data, and then you create your Power App in the studio. You save it to Power Apps Cloud, and then it is available for you in the browser or on your mobile devices. How about Flow?
So, Flow is the close cousin to Power App. So to build a business app, we want to have a great interface experience. We also know that data needs to move around. Things need to happen. And so Flow is an automation tool that lets an individual business user create a beautiful no-code experience around scenarios like being able to be alerted or being able to move files from one place to another based on conditions that are out there. If someone drops an image off in Box, and you want to bring it in to the Office 365 family, you can use a flow to do that. Being able to organize data. So if you have something that lives in Dynamics CRM or Google or something coming out of Salesforce and it's been marked as a win and you want to bring that data into an operations team that's using the power of Office 365 groups, you can do it, as well as the, you know, one of the most common scenarios we know people have been using designer workflows for is approval. Flow and Power Apps and Power BI use a common connector framework. So these are some of the dozens of connectors that are made available through Power Apps and Flow today. Whether it's the what you would expect, you know, for people who are running Office 365, E1, E3, E5, most of the commercially available plans, you're going to have access to a range of consumer services like Facebook, as well as what you would expect, SQL, Exchange, SharePoint, OneDrive, on-premises, or in the cloud. And when you build a flow, as we're going to show you in demo here in just a minute, you don't even have to move to the designer. We ship dozens of templates to take down the most common scenarios of, in context, if I'm working with SharePoint, do I want to send an email or get an approval or pick information up that's coming from the web and be able to write it to a list or get an approval on a document in the library? All of these templates are available. You can browse what's there at flow.microsoft.com. And if something we have doesn't work for you, there is a flow designer that's available. It works, again, that would be interesting, a no-code solution that lets me quickly drag in actions and components where I want to connect to. It shows me the properties of each step all the way on down the line. I can build in conditional logic. So if in the first step I say the sale has to be more than $1,000 or $1 million, I can go down one branch for a large sale, a different branch for a small sale, and be able to do all of this, again, without needing to write a lick of code. Since I haven't written code in 10 years, this is a tool for me as well as for many of you and the business users that we all support. So we really see Power Apps and Flow as being the future of business apps today and tomorrow in SharePoint and Office 365. I also want to make a clear comment. We think, in particular, things like Flow are taking over for SharePoint Designer scenarios as the successor. We also know we have a very rich ecosystem of partner solutions, companies like Nintex and K2 and AgilePoint and lots of people who are doing this. We are not intending to get into those complex enterprise scenarios. If you have an investment in Nintex, we love that. If you have an investment in K2, et cetera, we love that. We are trying to orchestrate business automation in a quick way to deal with many of the classic scenarios. So that said, this is the statement we want to make it very clear. You know, we see this now as a successor to these scenarios. We're very happy with what we're able to do, and that's why we want to take a look at modern lists.
The modern list integration is merely the beginning of this integration process we have with Power Apps and Flow. Like I said, we want to make sure that SharePoint is a first-class data source for these things. And to prove this concept, we've started the integration with Modern Lists. Modern Lists is available today for our first release users, and it has started to roll out to production. So within the month of October, we expect all of our production customers in SharePoint Online to receive the Modern Lists update. But it will not stop there. What we will do is we will continue to weave Flow and Power Apps into other parts of SharePoint. So document libraries is a very logical next step. For your documents, you will be able to create flows, maybe even trigger an action based on a selected document, maybe trigger an approval flow for a selected item, and create these custom UI. Talking a little bit about modern list, we really, really wanted to make it very, very easy for someone to easily start a flow using a modern list. We will show you in a second in the demo, but it's literally one click. Well, two clicks, I think.
One button.
And then you click the button, and then you click the other button.
Okay.
Anyway, so it's about two clicks to get to a flow that is fully functional for you to create something, for example, like sending you an email when a new item has been added to the list. We know that was one of the top scenarios for using SharePoint Designer workflows. So we really wanted to make that very, very easy and accessible to end users without having to figure out, you know, activating the workflow feature and then going to the workflow settings and then figuring out a bunch of things. We just wanted to make that much more accessible for our users. Similarly, if you want to create an app for your list, which kind of doubles as a customized form because that governs how you access and add information to that list. It is, again, very, very easy. You click a button, you say, I want to create an app for this. It will take the list context, start up the Power App Studio, and then create that app for you. And you can, it is fully functional as soon as you hit that button, but you can also start to customize it so that it's your business rules, your business needs are reflected in that app. Your corporate branding can go in there. Your conditional formatting rules can go in there. Your filtering rules can go in there so that you access that data.
So Karem's going to walk us through a demo, you know, a fairly typical scenario. We know InfoPass has been used for lots of things. Accident reporting, one of my favorite things to do is take a vacation. I actually don't know what they are, but I'm told they're very enjoyable. And people have built InfoPath forms tied to a list. And so Karem's going to walk us through the process on screen of what a vacation request form looks like when you've taken over. This is a list, the kind of list I would have built an InfoPath form years ago or even last week, but now I can use a Power App to be able to address that data and that interaction and that request process.
This doesn't work, so I'll just use
here. So here we are in the list.
I was going to use the iPhone to have a fully mobile demo, but what I'm going my iPhone is failing me at the moment. So what I'm going to do is actually show you things working in the desktop. Here we are in the list that I have created for my vacation request, and you can see the Power App button here, which allows me to create an app using one click. I won't do it at the moment. I will show you the app that I've created. For details, please go see the 2051 session. And I go into a good 15, 20 minutes and ran overtime.
It was a great 15 or 20 minutes.
Thank you. So you can see all the details of the steps that I went through to create an app very much like the one that I'm about to show you. Again, also, we wanted to make it very, very easy to create the flow. So here's the flow button and the create flow button that I push. And then out comes this panel, and it gives me a number of suggestions of already created flows that are available for a particular list. So you can easily create a customized email when a new SharePoint list item has been created. Or you can send an approval mail automatically when this has been created, and so on. So in a moment, I'm going to show you the flow that we're using on this list. But first, let's switch over to the Power App that I have. This is basically something that lets me make a vacation request using a customized app. So when you land on this app, you see that you're already seeing the items from that list that I was just on. It's just formatted a little differently. You can see that I have my company colors reflected instead of the vanilla blue that, I guess vanilla is not blue, but you get the point.
In the right lighting.
Yeah. Right. That's right. So you can see that this has been a customized app that shows me my vacation requests. It has some conditional formatting that shows the stuff that was approved by my manager in green, things that are pending in blue, and then things have been rejected in red, so that it's very easy for the user to identify the status of something. I have a built-in search and built-in sort, I have my company logo up here with a customized picture. Let me also point out that in addition to the conditional formatting, if I click on one of these items, I will, the icons render kind of funny there, but I will be able to edit or delete this item based on, because this is an item that is still pending approval. So it has been added, but it hasn't been approved yet, so I can make changes to it. But whereas if I go to an item that was approved by my manager, those buttons don't appear because based on the data, I can show and hide the controls that I show on the screen so you can easily manipulate and change the experience for your users based on certain conditions. All right, let's see what that vacation request might look like. So I click this button. I have my customized form that only shows me the relevant pieces of that vacation request. So I'm going to type in my theater session 2. There was a number 1 was this morning. And let's get that vacation this week of October here. I'm going to add my start and end dates. And then here's some. I think I already used this joke. I deserve it. The other thing to point out here is this little piece of information that was below, vacation days left. So all this information up top is going to go into that SharePoint list. This was basically using the schema of the list and the fields from the list. But that second piece of information, I wrote a little Azure function that will return me the number of days that person has on vacation. So that's the second piece of information that I'm pulling in from another source. So you can see how you can mash up different sources of data in a single app. It's not just your SharePoint data. You can also grab other pieces of data using any other data sources and then bring them together in a single list. So I hit my button, and you can see that my list now has been updated with this theater session, and it's pending approval. All right, that's great. Just to prove that it's not all...
Refresh.
There we are.
There's a new one.
Our item has been added to the list. So what...
We're 2 minutes over already.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about the approval side of this then, quickly. Since I don't see anyone kicking us out, I'll just go over a couple of minutes.
Karan's been working really hard, and we needed to get his vacation approved after the week that we've been having for Ignite.
That's right. So as you were watching my screen, this approval mail just popped into view. You can see that it is a request for my input. It is actually going to another user. It's going to this other, the manager of the person who was making the request. And informs him that he wants to go on vacation. All the fields that I have typed in are now present here. And if I hit approve, that approval will get recorded. If my internet works. All right.
And what's funny is that if you judge it from that manager's inbox, his entire job seems to be sitting around waiting for vacation requests to approve, which seems like a neat job. But
that's what they do. And you can see that this used to be pending approval. And when I refresh my list, you will note that the item is now approved by manager. So what magic made that happen? Let me show you. It's something that looks like this. So you can see that there's a trigger here. That has been this has been a flow that I was created by clicking that one of those buttons that you saw on the right-hand side of the screen there. When an item is created for this list, what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab the use the email of the person who created that item and find their manager. And then in the next step, I'm going to take the output of that get manager command and then use it as input to send the approval mail to that person. And you will see that the details kind of show that all of those different fields are appearing from that field. And then finally, I have a condition here. If the selected option is approve, then I update the item. I'm grabbing the ID of the item that was created and then using it as input for the next step here. And I can set that approval status to be approved by manager. Otherwise, I can take some other action. And it's very, very easy for me to go ahead and like add another action here to do other things like update a HR system through a custom API or any other things.
So it's also worth noting these are early days for Flow. We're in preview on Power Apps and Flow, going to GA soon. We're not disclosing the date yet, but it is coming soon. There are many workflow capabilities that we're not covering in Flow. If you're looking for advanced variable and parameter handling and state machines and looping and conditionalities beyond what we've already shown you, you know, there are other ways of solving it. This is intended to be a lightweight, scalable process automation that most users can plug into without needing a ton of training.
All right.
So
let's go back to and finish it up.
Give the clicker. There it is. And just to kind of recap what you just saw, you want to talk us through it?
We had the Power App running on the phone, and then it was requesting data from the list to show you their vacation requests, as well as the custom data source for that number of days. Then we added a new one, and then it went and updated the list data. And we had a flow that was watching the list for changes. When it detected that there was a new vacation request, it sent that approval mail to the manager. The manager approved. And then it went back and updated that SharePoint list to complete the circle.
So we're over time. We're not resting on what we're already doing. There's a lot that's coming.
Support for images, attachments, and multi-value fields, integration with document libraries, kicking off flows manually instead of waiting for this automated request. Give me a second, and then let's do the questions after. And then embedding Power Apps in SharePoint and using them as forms are some of the things that we're actively working on at the moment. They're on the roadmap.
So in conclusion, we know there's an awful lot of InfoPath in many organizations. I know enterprises that have hundreds, if not thousands, of the forms. Two of the resources that are available, first off, we publish guidance as to how to manage InfoPath moving forward, available at the link here, as well as understanding when you convert an InfoPath process that's been tied to a SharePoint list, if there is code behind on that InfoPath page, we're not looking at it in the conversion. All we're doing is converting the data. One of the ways that you can find what's out there in your environment is to use the sandbox tool that we've released through PNP to help discover InfoPath forms that you have in your environment and is there code behind them. We know in many cases those code behinds are samples or things that are never called or executed. So it helps you spotlight the places where there might be something so you can triage it and determine, is this still a business critical function or something that we can live with and re-implement differently using Power Apps and Flow. So other sessions going on. Most of these have already wrapped. We have two sessions tomorrow morning, one that I'm delivering on Cloud BI. So we're actually starting with Power Apps and Flow to move to a data warehouse, bring it to Power BI, and then back to SharePoint, along with a deeper dive on Power Apps from the Power Apps team. Most of the stuff is recorded. Let's wrap it up. Yay, Fast Track. Yay, tech community. Yay, Karem and me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we'll be hanging out here if you have questions. Unless they kick us out, then we'll be hanging out over there.
Yep.
Yes. Is this eventually being targeted for on-prem or system?
So it will already work with on-premises. So if you use the data gateway, you can connect to 2013 and 2016 data sources and have the flow execution of the Power Apps work with that data the same way they work with it in the cloud. Then, no.
And it won't even work with stack.
That is something that's under design. When Azure App Service takes the capability on, it is potentially available, but we have no more information to share about that. In this model, if you sign up for Power Apps and Flow, the definition and execution lives in the cloud, even if you don't have Office 365. So if you have Power Apps and Flow, you can run them against on-premises data sources with nothing but the Power Apps and Flow subscription. Yes?
Okay. So I know you're working on the functionality of importing pictures into Power Apps or taking pictures from within a Power App and adding it to a list.
Yep.
How close are we to that? Because that's kind of a big deal.
We're this close.
Like a week?
No, not like a week, but... We're going to be making another blog post on futures in about a month's time. I have to go back to Redmond and write it, but we expect late October we'll have more information to share about timing. It's coming. We know. Yes. You're holding your hand up. But if you were just stretching, that's totally okay. It's a long day. Yes. Yes,
it runs as that current user's context. So whoever is running that app has exactly the same permissions on that list and on that item, and it will run as that user.
But if it's on the phone, though, then...
It's handled for you.
...into Power Apps with your Office 365 credentials, and then it just goes through into the other side.
And is it for Windows?
Not yet.
Not yet. They're working on it.
I'm a Windows phone guy, so... working on it.
Yeah, I mean, just the one thing I kind of struggle with is just the difference in the split, and I totally get the why it's separated, its own platform and everything like that, but when you go to SharePoint, you edit a list
Yep.
But then you still have the customized form editing experience, you know, through Power Apps or whatever. Is there anywhere where there'll be like notification or be able to say, hey, you know, this got specialized experience over here or anything like that?
Yes.
They'll be able to, because it sounds like there's kind of two splits of being able to do stuff.
And that's part of what's coming for sure. When I talk about embedding and using Power Apps as forms, that is the story that we want to build towards. Today, we don't do a great job of that, I will admit. But what we're going to be doing it going forward is make sure that those capabilities are there and then you can see the customized form rather than the form that is using the phone. And also make sure that we point at the Power Apps that are available. Today, when you create the app from starting from a modern list, we actually create a view for you in modern lists. That is the handle to that Power App. Soon we will be using that more extensively.
Where
so
it'll
that
just
the
automatically
app
hook into
exactly.
Right. I think you had a question.
Can make that the default view and set
up. Is Power Apps going to be available as an add-in in the App Store?
Not as an add-in in the App Store. It is a more intrinsic capability that's coming into part of Office. So when it releases, you will automagically be able to, A, you'll have the license for it in E1, E3, E5, and most commercial tenants. B, be able to say, the same way that I can say, you get email, you don't, Power Apps and Flow capability, if you want to turn it on and off for selective users, you can. If you want to edit the app tile to show it or not show it, you can. But it's not a separate add-in. It's an intrinsic service.
You can download it for your devices from the app stores, for the mobile devices. And
oh, for that, yes. Any other questions? Yes. So it for E1, E3, E5, the version of Power Apps and Flow you get there is the same as what you would get, as what you're paying for E1, E3, E5 today.
Extra charge, it's included in your E1, E3, E5. The caveat is there will be some capabilities that are only available to more advanced licenses. For example, we talked about being able to connect to many data sources. So you will get connectivity with your Office 365 license to Office 365 properties plus SQL.
Right, right. And,
if you want to connect to, say, Salesforce or SAP, and I'm not fully up to date on the full list of connectors, those may be an extra charge on top of the E3, E5.
Yeah, a lot of it, the tiering is going to be driven largely by connectors and also the number of executions of a flow per month aggregated in the tenant. So if you are, we're in Atlanta, so if you're Delta Airlines and you're building a vacation request process that's going to fire 25 times a day, you're going to be fine. And then if you say, wow, I want to do this so every time a flight attendant is taking an order seat side on the plane and I'm firing this off thousands of times an hour, you're going to need to buy additional capacity to handle that. But for most business scenarios, we think that the licensing that you're going to get automatically in Office 365 is going to keep most scenarios covered. Yes?
When you start supporting Android, Windows Phone.
We support Android now.
Really?
Yes.
With Power Apps?
Yes.
So it's designed once deployment?
Yes. Yep.
Are you including like creating sites, permissions, those kinds of levels of things in that category?
We just started lists at the moment.
Right.
The next step is document libraries. I know there's a lot of requests on pages libraries, so being able to get a modern page and making sure that we can associate those with it. And then I suspect sites will come. It's a little further down the list, but document libraries is immediately.
I just kind of wondered what the bar is, how you define that bar of lightweight where lightweight stops. You know, kind of, you know, a lot of what you do is, you know, you're looking up into other lists and you're, you know, getting lookups and you're doing different things to, you know, interact with different stuff and copying those items and doing all that.
So let me make it clear. You build a flow. It belongs to you. Other people, it's attached. It's listening to a list.
Right.
If anyone else changes the data in the list, the flow fires, but it belongs to you. And you leave the company. Your flow goes away. That's going to get fixed. I mean, I'm not saying it's an initial. This is early days. How I copy a flow from one user to another, or share it around a group, or deal with dev test prod. You know, those are things that we're working on. We just haven't released.
What's the best way for support for Flow? Because I've built like 2 or 3 and they don't work. I get HTTP timeout errors when connecting to CRM. I get blank emails when I put in all the fill-in properties from it. I get blank emails. Just use the community for it?
Yes. So there's a Flow at Microsoft.com. There's a community link for support link. You can even create an escalation. I get those like customer-generated escalations. I look at them. I get back to them. We find bugs. We do have bugs because
it's preview.
But we are committed to making it better for them and keeping the company. So that shouldn't happen. Let's go.
There were some discussions about that we had. We're also doing some private design sessions with some focus groups this week. It definitely comes up, being able to use a Flow in a content type. So we're thinking about it, and that's really all I could say.
Yeah.
And so let me make this broad point. So when I got, used to be CTO at Quest and Dell. When I got to Quest, I inherited a software product that was designed to handle email attachments inside Outlook. And it was one of these quick hit, let's get the, you know, didn't take a lot of dev time. Let's put it out and see if it takes off in the market. And if it takes off in the market, we're going to do more. And in software development, you can really spot those products a mile away that are just sort of trial balloons. This is totally not one of those. There's like this huge arsenal of developers and engineers and architects and managers working on it with a really rich backlog and roadmap. And this is a big bet for Microsoft. It's a big bet for SharePoint and Office. And when we say that we're working on it and thinking about it and coming, absolutely we are designing it and working on it and planning to release it.
Yeah, we do want to make SharePoint a first-class data type, but I mean, things like content types, site actions, things like that, it's just not there today. It's
yep. Definitely. One more question. We'll take more questions. What do you have?
In terms of Flow, Power Apps, Logic Apps, what's the relationship in the ecosystem?
So Flow and Power Apps, they're very close to each other. It's just that Flow is a more end-user, business-user-friendly presentation of Logic Apps. Logic Apps is the thing that runs underneath, so when you create a Flow, it actually, underneath the covers, creates a Logic App for you, and then runs that. Logic Apps gives you more capabilities for extending that. It's more developer-friendly. You can write some code in Visual Studio and make updates to it. It's a little richer and more developer-friendly. Flow is a more end-user-friendly representation. Power App, similarly, is designed for those power users for creating these apps, solutions, and it's on the forms and on the presentation side. Logic Apps and Flow, more like on the automation side, runs in the background without the UI. Power Apps is kind of the UI that the users interact with.
And if you've built those data stores out and you really see that you're looking beyond the frontier of what you can do through a Power Apps interface, well, you're probably going to preserve the data store but start looking at tool sets like Xamarin. There's grow-up stories around all of these, but we're really intending to democratize, lowercase d, these tools so people can pick up on them. That said... No, you can customize a Flow.
All the flows are customizable. There are several actions that you can just take and add. And like, all of the flows are they can be arbitrarily large. Writing custom code is not something you can do in a Flow.